Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're in a new series this month called Silent Night, and today I'm going to talk on the theme Peace on Earth. And how many of you guys love the song Silent Night? You know, Silent Night, Holy Night, it's one of those, just a special song. We'll sing it this year when we light candles. I just want to walk this Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin. I just want to stop right here. You ever wonder what that means? I can just tell you right now, if you're here dating someone and you take that gal home for Christmas, don't say, "Hey, Mom, here's my round virgin." Round, you know, don't call her round. She doesn't want to be cold. She's round, okay? "Mom, here's my gorgeous girl I'm dating." Just don't try round yon, okay? That's just for some of you free advice, okay? Has nothing to do with my message. Just might help some of you. "Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly" what? "Peace." Sleep in heavenly peace. Now, let's unpack the context of this night. Jesus is born in a manger, but it's not just that. Mary was 13 to 17 years of age, scholars believe. She's a teenager. There was an arranged marriage with a guy named Joseph, who they believe was probably 30. I don't know if you, right, any of you in here have a 13-year-old daughter. I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I tell you right now, I would not arrange a marriage for a 30-year-old man. Okay, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me right there at all. I wouldn't arrange a marriage for any man for the next 40 years for her. Okay, that's a whole other point. But he's 30, there's arranged marriage, and we know this. We know that he's going to his genealogic, in his line, he had to go to Bethlehem to register for a census for taxes, and we know this. We know they're not married, and Mary's not with mom and dad. You have to understand, in that day, husband or fiance would go and give a betrothal, a gift of value, significant value to the family. And you wouldn't see the fiance till he went over, built the home, he's building onto mom and dad's house, and you'd take, but if you got pregnant, it was like, all bets off. So for her to be under the care of her fiance means her mom and dad ostracized her when she got pregnant. And we know this. We know that Joseph struggled when he heard she was pregnant and wanted to quietly divorce her. Because even back then, you could divorce them as a fiance. But the Holy Spirit, through the angel, says, "No, listen, she's not pregnant with someone else's child. She's pregnant with the Son of God." And an angel, this is an immaculate conception, in other words. And so Joseph, with the character he had, he took her in. They went to do the census, got to town. There was. This is not a silent night, okay? There's relational challenges. There's political upheaval because you're paying taxes to a government that you don't even answer to. It's Roman government, and so you got this political day. She not only that, they traveled miles. Didn't have like the memory cushion seats on the back of that donkey. And she gets down there, water breaks. Couldn't drop the pickle jar at AM/PM to kind of cover up, okay? There's no room in the inn. And so, you know, she has, anyone here ever dreamed of going, "You know, Mom and Dad, I know people dream of where to get married now. You ever dreamed about, you know, I want my baby born in a barn?" No. Here it is. You got a young gal ostracized by Mom and Dad because she was picked by God to carry the Savior. 30-year-old gentleman traveled miles, probably didn't have a good shower, and there's they are in a barn, and she gives birth to some baby. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in what? Heavenly peace. Because I want to propose to you, the big idea, the thought we want to talk about this in this series is, where's the heavenly peace we can have when all of the world around us is falling apart or looks differently than we would embrace or enjoy or want to walk through? So we're talking about peace. You see, the part I want to focus on with this song here, as we even talk about Silent Night, is sleep in heavenly peace. How do we find heavenly peace when there's not a whole lot of peace on earth? In fact, a lot of people say, oh, you know, peace on earth. The phrase peace on earth is only found one time in the Bible. It's not found during the Christmas story. A lot of us quote that. And you can go down and probably buy a Peace on Earth sign at downtown and Joy to the World and Peace on Earth. But the phrase peace on earth is never something relied or that's even in the context of the Christmas story. I will unpack the Christmas story where it says on earth peace. When God's favor rests upon man. But I want to look at this this phrase peace on earth. The only time we do see it in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, that says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? Jesus answers his own question. No, but division. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to change everything. And so how do we, the concept of peace on earth, I mean, guys, we can't bring peace on earth. There's no way we can bring peace. God is the only one that can give us peace. Okay? In 3,500 years of existence since Genesis 1, and 286 of those years have been no fighting or war that we know of around the world. But out of 3,500 years, 286 years of peace. And that's because maybe no one knew there was a war. So how do we find peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace says this, made a promise in John 16. He says, I've told you these things so that in me, say in me, I tell you so that in me, Jesus says, you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble. But in me, you can have what? Peace. In other words, you can be surrounded by trouble and yet still have peace in Jesus. And so the big question the series, the next several weeks, seeks to address is how do we find God's peace? Because I'll tell you right now, if you're looking for peace on earth, you're not going to find peace on earth. There's too many broken human beings on planet earth as Homo sapiens doing business and family that outside of God's peace, there's no peace on earth. There's peace in Him. And so today, what are four things that steal our peace? And you know, it's on your worship guide if you're taking notes in front of you here. Four things that tend to steal our peace is, number one, unavoidable circumstances. I can tell you right now, at 8:39 on Friday morning, I did not sense the peace of God anywhere in that hotel room. I mean, it was shaking. Lights went off. Sirens went off. The lamps on the, I remember sitting there going, Heidi, this is the big one they've talked about for years, and we just happen to unfortunately be here in Fairbanks right now. Excuse me, in Anchorage. We're driving away going, I'm so glad I live in Fairbanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The people up there are nicer too, Lord. No, there's nice people everywhere. You guys are just nicer. Okay. But how do you find God? It's not, see, things happen to you. How many of you guys ever had something happen to you? How many of you know it's not important what happens to you? It's important what happens in you. How do we find God's peace? The wildfires in California where a whole community can be washed aside. You know, I'm so thankful that it happened at 8:30 in the morning and there wasn't people barreling down the Glen Highway at 65 miles an hour when part of the highway just sunk 100 feet like we saw. No fatalities. Why? Because it happened at the perfect time in the perfect way. But wildfires and major weather events and earthquakes. You know, we better find peace outside of circumstances. You know, economy's lower. I don't know how many people text me, Lord, Mark, pray for me. I'm in such and such position. The new government asked for my resignation. I don't know if I have a job. peace, peace, God's peace, peace that is greater than all my fears. Peace. We have to find peace out of, we won't, there's unavoidable circumstances. The second thing is there's unbearable people. You might live with some of those unbearable people. You might work with some of those unbearable people. I call them, people are a lot like porcupines. A lot of fine points, but sometimes they're hard to hug and hold and be around, right? There's difficulty. Psalms, David says it this way, with words of hatred, they've surrounded me. They've attacked me without cause. There are going to be some unbearable people that accuse you and treat you wrongly. Why? Because they're just, you know, they're not happy themselves. Then there's number three, there's unexplainable problems. We want answers, but we can't find them. The why? Jesus himself said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I remember listening to a Larry King Live interview once. He was interviewing Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren, of Saddleback Community Church in Southern Cal. And it was after one of the Kennedys had been died in a ski accident. And Larry King's like, why would God allow this to happen, Pastor? And I don't understand this, Pastor Rick. Why would this happen? And Pastor Rick stopped Larry King and said, that's not the right question to ask God. The moment you posture yourself as why God, you now demand that God gives you a reason for why something happens. You're claiming then to be in control, and God owes you an answer. And he says, and if God does answer you, it might not be a good enough answer for your finite mind to understand, because his ways are not your ways. His ways are higher than your ways. He said, so Larry, you don't ask why during crisis. You ask what and how. What can I learn and how can I grow? Why? Because there's unexplainable problems. There's problems you'll never. You can mine the depths of that situation and read every book and ask every scholar and still not scratch the surface of why, because there's unexplainable challenges. Number four, uncontrollable worry. You ever been around those people that just worry? You want the answer to something and Siri doesn't have it. And Alexa and Google don't have it. Doesn't matter what you change their voice to sound like, they still don't know everything. Worry's crippling. It'll debilitate you. And so how in the middle of circumstances and difficult people and problems and worry do you find a true north? Do you find the compass of your life to say, God, how do I find peace? How do I point my life toward this peace in you? See, I know at Christmas time we've, you know, peace on earth, and it's the Christmas. You don't find it in the Christmas. I will read the Christmas story and see where we take it and how what we've finagled to say a certain thing, but it doesn't say that. Now in chapter 2 of chapter Luke, it says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. How many of you want to know it's good news when Jesus showed up? That's why we should tell people about it. You don't keep good news to yourself. Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And listen, and on earth, peace. Didn't say peace on earth. It says, and on earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests. See, it's not peace on earth. It's on earth, there's peace on men whose God favor has rested upon. In other words, the big question is not, God, can I find peace? God, how can I be the type of person that your favor rests on? Because if your favor rests on me, I will find peace. How many want to know it's God's favor when you can be in a world with challenges and find peace? God doesn't promise in this world there will be trouble and there will be tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. God, in Christ, there's peace. But we're not going to, you want peace on earth? Oh, let's just all be one big happy family and one big church and one big all that. Guys, there's not going to be peace. We got to fight tooth and nail to get to heaven, don't we? Now, I'm not saying God doesn't enable us, but how do we find the peace of God? Jesus himself said, I'm leaving you a gift. Say gift. John 14, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, who's the source? Jesus. The peace I give isn't fragile like the peace. In other words, it won't break with an earthquake. It won't break with a fire. It won't break with earth, wind, or fire. The peace I give is not fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. He says, I'll give you peace of mind. I'll give you peace of heart. In other words, a peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind, it says in Philippians. You want to be in that place where your mind is telling you something else and the fear is there, but there's a peace that surpasses. You can be in a circumstance and have the peace of God to know God's in control even though everything looks like chaos around me. That's peace. Peace he comes to give. Peace that passes all understanding. And it's because of God's favor. I want to talk briefly as we close. Four ways peace of God comes upon us with his favor. How do we receive his favor? Number one, we receive God's favor through his pardon. Now, what's pardon? A pardon is when someone in authority calls someone free when they're not. You know, and that's one of the last things a president many times will do. They will pardon people that are guilty, but they pardon them, which says, I'm calling you free even though you don't deserve to be free. Most major presidents have pulled at different times. They've done things to give people the pardon. And aren't you thankful that we don't deserve eternal life? And aren't you thankful that as sinners, God chose to pardon us and he loves us anyway? Aren't you glad that God, there's something, you know, every religion in the world lives under guilt except for Christianity. Because there's grace with Jesus. You don't get to heaven because you do this, and then you have to do this right. And then why are cults so controlling? Because there's this guilt and manipulation that you have to do this, and then you have to do this, and then you have to do this, and you have to do this. Whereas Christianity, it's not what do? It's what he's done. He died for us. It's not Jesus and the cross and this. No, it's Jesus and the cross and Jesus and the cross and Jesus and the cross. It's grace. That's why Romans says, therefore, since you've been justified by faith, in other words, you've been made right with God, we have peace with God. There are some people who have no peace. Why? Because there's this God-shaped void on the inside of them, and outside that God-shaped voice, there's no peace because he's the only one that can pardon you and forgive you of all sin. Psychologists say the greatest source of stress is guilt. Aren't you thankful there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? The guilt is gone. If you live guilty, there's someone named Jesus. It's called forgiveness. It's called grace, and he can forgive you. He'll pardon you. I remember I did a jail service once in Colorado. I was an intern up in the mountains in Colorado, and so they said, Mark, we want you to do the jail service next week. So, you know, I was in Bible college. I needed 3 points. I had 3 points when I got. I used Colossians chapter 1, which says you're an enemy of God in your mind, but God ransomed you and forgave you, and he wiped you, you know, he basically took your sins away. And so I had 3 simple points. And my first point, you're all in jail. They looked at me like, you're an idiot. You're all in jail. They're like, duh, and so are you right now. And I could be here. I could stay longer if I did something to you right now. You're all in jail, number one. Number two is my second point, but God paid the bail. Now, how many of you guys want that's good news right there. You're all in jail. We're enemies of God because of sin, but he paid the bail. And thirdly, he wipes our record clean. He pardons us. Receive God's peace through Jesus. If you're here today and you haven't made peace with God, you just acknowledge your sin and say, God, I'm sorry. I believe that you died for me and I confess my need for you. and you'll find his pardon. The second way we receive peace in God's favor is we run to God's presence. When things get difficult, we run to God. We don't run to everyone else. We don't seek presence under the tree. We seek his presence. We seek him. I love what it says in Isaiah, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. See, when a crisis comes, friends, you want to find the peace of God. You have to find, peel away the noise, the hurry, and the crowds, and get alone with Jesus long enough to get in his presence and say, God, I need to be, my mind to be steadfast. And God promises he'll give you peace whose mind is steadfast on him. Problem is, we call everyone we know to get answers, and God's going, when you realize I'm all you got, you realize I'm all you need. Why did it take you so long to find me? You have to get steadfast. If you're steadfast and stayed on him, you'll find perfect. Anyone want perfect peace? In other words, you get in a circumstance that you have no control of. You get on your knees and you hear Jesus. You hear God's voice, and it's at that place you make that decision. I always say something. Don't question in the dark what God showed you in the light. When you're in his presence and the light of God is there and you've shoved through. And I want to challenge, maybe you go, what's the presence of God? Come this Wednesday night. Our encounter night is a night where we seek the presence of God. And I tell you right now, there were 4 or 5 major miracles that happened last time. God did some incredible things at our encounter night. This Wednesday night, 6:30, come. Bring your kids. We have stuff available for them so we can come and just seek the presence of God. Why? Because we believe peace. You know, you'll find perfect peace when your mind is steadfast and you find his presence. You ever been in an elevator with kids? Now, I have 4 daughters. They're biological. They all did this, and so I didn't know if it was this wifeful thing. But then we adopted a son who's not of our biological genes, and he looks just like me. Except he's got dark skin and eyes are different. But he does the same thing in an elevator. If we go to the mall, if we go to the hospital, there's an elevator, we hop in the elevator, and if there's other people in the elevator, all of a sudden, my kids, they kind of raise their hand and they tap me right here. Or right here, depending on how tall they are. And I learned real quick that's International Sign Language for Daddy, pick me up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys have ever had your kids or grandkids? They just tap you. They don't say a word. And they just kind of go like this. What's that mean? Pick me up. What it means is pick me up. I don't like the view down here. These people's kneecaps are ugly. They can't articulate that yet, but what they're really saying is, Daddy, I want to see things from your perspective right now because I'm not sure I like my perspective. I'm getting all closed in right here. And that's what the presence of God is. Daddy, pick me up because I don't like my perspective anymore. Daddy, I'm going to tap you. Pick me. I want to be steadfast and find perfect peace in you. Guys, you peace is in Jesus. Run to his presence. The third principle for truth regarding how to receive God's favor is number 3, respect God's principles. You know, it's amazing how we want to violate God's principles and then we're frustrated that we don't have peace. When I say God's principles, the Word of God. How many want to know that the Word of God is a living, active book? And it's a living letter for dying people who are trying to learn how to live. And the Bible says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, living in the right. And all these things will be what? Added unto us. You want to find the peace of God. You begin to live the principles of God. I love what it says in Psalms 119. David says, great peace have those who love your law, O God, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace. You know, we've made the Bible like a salad bar. Well, I want this. I want a whole lot of this. I want that. I don't want that because I don't think it tastes as good, and I don't like that right there. And so we take the part we want, and we kind of shove the side we don't. How many want to know? The Word of God is the right. It's the law, and great peace is upon those who love his law. Don't treat the Word of God like a salad bar and take this and take. It's amazing how we want to do what we want to do and ask God to bless our life. And yet we don't live the blessed life, the one God has told us is blessed. I I went to Lowe's 2 weeks ago, and I was taking care of my four-year-old son, and he reminded me when we were at Lowe's that we needed batteries because he has remote control cars that don't always work because he doesn't always remember to turn the batteries off, okay? And so, like, you buy him, and a day later, there's like, oh, there's no more batteries, Dad, it's broken. No. And so we walk by, and there's these big box of batteries. So he put one in the cart with me, and I take it. I said, Daddy, and so he gives it. We put it in there, and I get some lumber, and I go by, and I pay for things, and I go by the lumber, and they buy the lumber, and the lady doesn't see that I have the batteries in there, and I forgot about the batteries. So I take my car. I've got him. I take him out. I put him in the car seat, and I start the car. He's got an iPad for a moment to stay busy or whatever, and then I'm putting the lumber in. I realize, oh, no, I paid $22 for my lumber, and I got, this is $21 alone for the batteries, and I'm going, and you know how that little thought that goes, I thought, you know, that little thought that said, no one will know. And I thought, no, I'll know because I won't be able to sleep if I do this. So Fulton, come here. Why, Dad? We're going. You said, I take Fulton out of the car, put him back in the car, and I walk in with the cart, and I say, hey, ma'am, here's the batteries. It's like $21.95. And she goes, you know, wow, you brought this back? I said, yeah, I forgot to give it to you. She says, wow, thank you, sir. And she's like five times, wow, thank you, sir. Wow, I'm thinking, no, don't. I just want to be able to sleep at night. I don't want to teach on integrity. I don't want to tell my boy to tell the truth. And yet I personally take batteries that, well, she forgot to scan it. It's her fault. No. It's principle. You want the peace of God? You do. You're unmarried, and you're living in a you're in a relationship with a young man or a young lady, and you know what the Bible says, and you wonder why there's no peace, because maybe you've kind of aborted God's plan for purity. God's plan for this can't just it's not a salad bar. So what does God's word say? And lastly, you rely upon God's provision as we. He needs to be the one in whom we share our problems and say, God, things are tough right now, but I'm going to rely upon you. I love what Philippians says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. And then it says, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can understand. God's peace. It says, pray. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because when you rejoice and you keep rejoicing, you bring God's batting average up. And then you can go to confidence in prayer going, every other time I've had a difficulty, God has come through. So why wouldn't he come through again? Why wouldn't he come through again? And now you pray, and the peace of God that passes all understanding guards your heart and guards your mind. It's peace. It's peace. Not peace on earth. It's peace. On earth, there's peace for people whose God's favor rests. So if you're here today, and maybe you're out of a relationship with Jesus, God needs to pardon you. I'm going to pray with you right now. Or maybe you're here, and you're going, you know, I haven't been living what the Word says, and I've been tired of the Holy Spirit hounding me. I want to live in peace. Well, then start living what the Word says. Go to God in your problems. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray that God gives you, receives peace. In a moment, the ushers will come, and as we prepare for Lord's tithes and offerings, I want to pray over you right now. Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone that's here today. God, I pray for peace. Even right now, just kind of take a deep breath and say, Lord, I need your peace. And I don't know what your circumstance is, but ask him for peace in a situation, peace that only Jesus can bring. If it's because you've been living outside his principles, ask him and say, God, I am sorry. If it's because you haven't gone to him, but you've gone to everyone else, say, God, I want to rely upon you for provision. Or maybe you're here and you say, God, I just want to run to your presence and I want to sense your peace. Great peace is upon those who are steadfast. Perfect peace. Their minds are on you. Grant peace in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.